Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth this weekend, or heading into the weekend, and it's Fridays with Fran. Fran Berry joins me to look ahead to Dundalk in the main, but we will be talking about other things, Fran. It is, well, first off, how are you, Fran?
Oh, good, PK. I'm back in the office. The car has been abandoned this week, so normal service has been resumed, I hope, yeah.
You said sorry.
I did, yeah. I needed my washing done, actually, so...
Dead sorry, she said, okay, finally. Just, you didn't know what you were apologising for, though, I bet.
Not a clue.
Yeah, Fran's back in the good books. He's back in the house. My internet was consequently down this morning, so hopefully I sound okay, and fingers crossed we get through. We've a load of races to get through at Dundalk, but let's have a quick recap on things. First off, Paddy's Pick 5 available for all 3 days of Cheltenham this weekend. It is the Paddy Power Gold Cup meeting, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have a Pick 5 for every day. It was won last week, Fran.
Excellent. Yeah, it comes in like buses, doesn't it? No, yeah. It wasn't worth playing at that kind of level. I wait till it gets to 100k. But,
oh, good man, yeah, Fran. Yeah. You're only going for the big money. Fair play. Yeah, it's only 25 grand to be won on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was won by quite a few people, actually, at the weekend, which I thought was surprising because there was a few decent prize winners in there. But fair play. They're getting the hang of it, the punters. They still managed to get 400 odd quid for a free go. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
That'll help with the old Christmas expenses for sure. That's back every day at Cheltenham. Now, we also had a bit of breaking news on the Paddy Power social channels yesterday. Did you see on Twitter that John Bonn has schooled really well over fences? Of course, he going for the Arkle this year. Did you see that, Fran, all over Twitter?
I saw the video of him getting from A to B at a slow pace over fences. But anyway, enlighten me, yeah.
Well, it's done. As far as Paddy Power is concerned, he has won the Arkle, or at least that's the decision we made. We decided that Twitter schooling was as good as Nicky Henderson is going to get. He may as well not even run him, because basically we decided we're going to pay it a John Bond. Look, we know that some of these egg and spoon races over the course of the season can result in some curious price changes. So we're going to pay out, or we did pay out, for anyone who backed John Bond prior to 10 a.m., on Thursday, that was Thursday the 9th, if you had an anti-post bet on him, you got paid out. It's a bit of fun. I mean, a lot of people giving out about anti-post racing, future racing, as it's called on site. Do you remember the last anti-post bet you had, Fran?
Yes, I do. It was only last week. I backed a lot of joy for the Mayor's Novice Hurl at Cheltenham. Of course, you got beaten and had Cork on Sunday. So that's firmly gone out the window, I think, at this point in time. She didn't jump well, but... probably not a 2 miler overhaul, it's more of a grinder. But Flame Bear I've backed as well for the Turners at Cheltenham. If you want to pay out now, lads, I'm more than happy to take it.
We need to wait and see a Twitter video from Willie Mullins. Like, you could be waiting a while. The fact that you saw Flame Bear at Willie Mullins' yard was in itself pretty enlightening, I suppose.
Proof of life, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, proof of life. We always like that when it comes to that yard. A lot of joy. She travelled so well, but then was the Gavin Cromwell horse, or was it a, I can't remember, what was the one that came up on the outside?
That's right, one of Gavin Cromwell's in the McManus silks, and could be a very, very good horse in his own right.
I wouldn't be surprised, because I'm not sure that was entirely expected. He was 12 to 1. It wasn't unfancied, given the price of a lot of joy. But yeah, she found again with that horseman buyer. I think it just, yeah, like you said, probably needs further than two.
Yeah, probably a cleaner jumping maybe will help her in a stronger pace, but at a higher level, you'd think 2.5 miles might be more her goal. But I was actually in the parade ring, PK, doing a paddock piece with Kevin O'Ryan for Racing TV, obviously at Nace, but in my ear, there was the commentary of the Cork race, and I could hear Peter here, Lotta Joy has made a mistake at the second last hurl. And I stopped talking mid-sentence for the paddock piece. And Kevin O'Ryan's looking at me, what's wrong with you? And I said, just keep talking, please, will you?
What a pro. What a pro. He's there talking about in the paddock and basically listen to other races at the same time. No one has ever watched a horse race while working, I think it's fair to say. No, in any other job. I definitely haven't. Luckily, I get paid to do it. I think Kevin O'Ryan left you. I was listening to you on Dundalk last week, and you were basically rattling away, giving a previous race, and Kevin O'Ryan was nowhere to be seen.
He does that. Tends to go missing a little bit. He's got 85 jobs to do. So he's actually doing a phone-in show for KCLR radio, I think. So there you go. Yeah, what a man.
Hang on. Like, Racing TV are aware of this, yeah? Like, that he just goes up there and swans off and does these little shows. It's ah, France, it's fine. He'll keep the show on the road.
Mini shows in between races at Dundalk, yes. And I just pick up the slack, I suppose, yeah.
What a man. What a man, yeah. Kevin O'Ryan is. Right, we are going to get to Dundalk. What we'll do is we'll go race to race and we'll have a quick chat about other things, bits and bobs going on in the racing world, the Breeders' Cup. We'll talk about Japan as well. We'll have a quick chat about how much money Fran Berry's got and what mare he's going to send to Dubawi Flightline or indeed also Frankel. But let's talk about the first race, Dundalk. Let's get a first winner of the night. The 4:45 or afternoon is one of the most valuable races on the card. It's a 22 grand conditions race for the juveniles. There's one horse who's got a rating. That's Catherine of Siena for Kevin Coleman and Shamie Heffernan, who has a strong chance. But Las Cuatro, who made a very, well, I was going to say taking debut, was smashed up, Fran. Remember, we were talking about this race. We thought, or you thought, maybe Jared left this one for Colin to get that winner he needed or a couple of winners he needed. Smashed up in the betting, but only third on debut.
Las Cuatro, as you said, PK, was well backed on that debut run over 5 furlongs. Got back out of start, a little bit sluggish out of gates, and was well in rear, if you like, before staying on well inside the final furling and a half. I think time will prove that the winner is quite smart, the horse of Pat Flynn's Star Spangled Waves, who went on to win that race. And the second home, Smullen's Pride, whom we selected on the evening, sets a decent standard. Stepping up a furling and trip with normal improvement, I think she'd be very hard to beat here. I like the way she finished in the final furlong at Dundalk over that 5 furlong trip. Market rivals likely Catherine of Siena on a cracker against Queen Maeve recently at the track, and sets a good standard for all that. She's probably a 72 rated filly all day long and probably open to not a lot more improvement. And the main danger, if you like, would be number one, Capital Guarantee, who Colin Keane rode on debut 9 days ago and shaped very well on that occasion over 7 furlongs. Travelled really well down towards Diener and made a good challenge before appearing to get tired or maybe not staying inside the furlong pole. Dropping down 6 furlongs, Capital Guarantee will give a good account of himself. I just think a quick turnaround in comparison. Las Cuatro's had a 2-week break between runs, could stand her in better stead. And I'm going to side with Las Cuatro here, stepping up a furling and trip against Capital Guarantee.
Okay, lovely. Las Cuatro for Geraldine's and Colin Keane to win the opener. Might make the market. We're again recording. We're nice and early, actually. Fran has me up early today. He's Fran, I tell you. Not mad and keen on these early starts now. You know? Not mad keen on these. You horsey people, you know, you just get up before the sun gets up. Now, that's not quite the case here.
The first race was, I went through it at 6:55 this morning. So,
did you?
Yeah, so hopefully I was still awake when I'd done the form anyway. Yeah.
Fair play. 6:55. I was not awake. Right. So, Las Cuatro in the opener. Let's have a quick recap because we watched the Breeders' Cup. At least you would have watched it while you're working. You were watching the Breeders' Cup, which means you were actually watching the Breeders' Cup while you were working on the Friday night. And
getting,
then on the Saturday...
Getting paid to watch racing, PK.
It's not bad. It's not the worst thing in the world. And obviously the Friday night and the Saturday, both successful for the Europeans. The juveniles took all before them on the Friday evening. What was your takeaway from the juveniles? Who impressed you most?
Meditate, I thought, was very good. Stretching out to a mile on a fast surface. I think the key is the trip on a fast surface for her. I thought she was really, really good the way she stretched clear inside the final furlong. And I think, you know, she's going to be exciting going back to Newmarket over a mile in the Guineas next year. See how everything progressed from year to year. She gave a big compliment to Tahilia, is it?
Tahira,
excuse me. Keep getting that mixed up, who beat her in the Meidler. But the ground was soft in the Meidler stud stakes on Irish Champions Weekend. Be really interested to see what happens next spring, but both very, very good fillies. And Victoria Road winning Breeders' Cup prize, his Derby day, I think it was a big day for him. I don't think I ever would have envisaged him being to that level.
Yeah, and a big win, obviously, for Coolmore with Saxon Warrior. Mm-hmm. That was their first Group 1 for him, a son of Deep Impact. And he'll have his place next year, but I think everyone expects him to be a little bit less of a Group 1 animal than Meditate. Tahira's 3-1, 6-1 Meditate for next year's 1,000 guineas. A lot of chat on Twitter that Dermot Weld, it's not a race. Look, obviously Homecoming Songs last year didn't make it to the 1,000 guineas. Whether that was ever on her agenda, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be a race that he runs too many 3-year-old fillies in.
Yeah, the Well team tend to start off the season very slowly. Often they're very back in their coats, you know, the first month of the season, April, the Guineas comes up the first Sunday in May. If I did get it back one now, I'd back Meditate at 6-1. I wouldn't touch Tahira at 3-1 by any means, because I can guarantee you Meditate will be, all things being equal, in the Guineas next year.
Yeah, I think that's fair at this stage in the old anti-pulse. And who knows, maybe we'll see a Twitter video and producer Mark will send another email and pay out on Meditate for the 1,000. That'd be nice, Mark. That was at the Juveniles. Quick look on the 5:15 Dundalk. We'll talk about the older horses of the Breeders' Cup. This is the bet on the best night out at Dundalk Handicap. It's a 6-furlong sprint. And looking at the market again, sorry, no market, but looking at the entries, geez, James McCauley's had a few runners over the last 3 days. I think one of my colleagues, Gavin, works at, I think they've got 24 runners, the Hilltop Races racing team, from Wednesday through to Friday. He's got a few in here. Ticing, yeah, Scarlet Dancer, as you'd expect. Also, Hod's Girl will be fancy too. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, the orange colour is going to have to get a change, because there was 5 runners in Claimer yesterday. I was struggling to work it out. And Gary O'Brien, supreme commentator, he is no problem to him. But the couple of the McCauley team have ran in the last couple of days, and I'm sure they'll run back. But look, they're going to be busy over the winter and they'll pop up on occasions. Maritime Rules, trained by Gerard Leary, is interesting on Irish debut. Decent form for Richard Hannon back in the UK in the all weather. Blinkers on for his first run for the stable. Maybe best watch off top weight. A lot of pace on here, PK. You got number 5, Ampleson, Adams Barber, number 9, and number 11, Little Queenie, a grey filly. She's only about 14 hands high. She'll be rocking along in front, and that's going to make it, I think, a test of stamina. I think if 2 or 3 of these horses get taken each other on the front end, it'll suit closers. And I keep coming back to number 6, Rocky's Dream. 5-time winner on the track, 4 of them albeit in Claimers, but his last win was in the Handicap Company. Don't think he got a mile here the last day when he travelled really well. He's back down to 6 furlongs here with a strong gallop. He's a hold-up horse. I think with Joey Sheridan taking £3 off him, he is the one to beat. Hod's Girl, similar profile, 2 wins for Aidan McGuinness so far out, 4 runs since joining him. Just think the setup of the race might play to Rocky's Dream more so than Hod's Girl, and I can see a pace collapse inside the final furlong.
All right, one for Dennis Hogan, former trainer of a few of these Hilltop horses. Rocky Dreams with Joey Sheridan, the one to beat. 14 and a bit hands, that Little Queenie.
She's very small, but very fast.
Clearly.
I could be exaggerating. Maybe she's 15.
They should put her in a match race with that Hillcrest, and it'd be like the War Admiral versus Seabiscuit of our age. That Hillcrest, who's like 18, I think, isn't he? 18 hands, the national horse trained in the UK. Now, I don't know if they find a trip that would suit both of them, given she runs over 6 and he's going to get a trip. But 14 a bit hands. I'd nearly go tomorrow night to watch that now to see her.
She's probably about 16, but the lights, changed view up in the dock. Yeah.
Plus all those Carlsbergs as well. The Breeders' Cup, the older horses, look, I'm going to say who impressed you most. Look, I don't watch a huge amount of dirt racing. You watch it the group ones, that's kind of grade ones. But Jesus, he was good that flight line.
Unbelievable. Yeah, the speed that they went down to the first bend, you're thinking these cannot keep going, and they just can't maintain it all the way. And, you know, the horse that tried to make the run in life is good, paid a big price for that inside the final 2 furlongs. And Flightline, look, he's, you know, experts of the dirt and the clock and everything else are raving about him, but visually it's very, very exciting to watch. And you know, it's just great to see that cap off the meeting. I thought it made the Breeders' Cup. Malahat in the Phillies and Mares, Johnny Velasquez, I thought he was fantastic on him for the Shadwell team, just getting up on the line. But I suppose go back to Inner Brian and Charlie Appleby, and the meeting that they had, Charlie Appleby doesn't miss when he comes to these meetings. And James Doyle getting a winner on a big day like that, I thought was fantastic for him, and winning on Rebel's Romance, bit of a pace collapse there as well. And Tuesday, back to form after bombing out since winning the Oaks, I suppose, on a couple of occasions. Interesting one. It was only brought to my attention. I didn't cop it. I just thought maybe she's a bit immature in the Irish Derby and in France when she had her comeback run and was primed to win here. But she's never been beat going left-handed, but her record going right-handed obviously is not as good. So it might be something worth bearing in mind for the future. But I thought maybe it's a bit of immaturity and she's back to where she was when winning the Epsom Oaks, beating Emily Upjohn.
That is a good shout. That is a good shout. Only wins left-handed, or I'm just trying to think of group one opportunities for her. I suppose Coronation Cup, that sort of stuff. Maybe start her off there next year at Epsom and see how she goes on. Did you see the post-race interview with James Doyle after he won the British
Cup? I did, the Irish James Doyle, yes. Yeah. Good to see. And I thought he handled it well, as always, yeah.
Well, he just ignored the question. To give context, basically, Donna, who's on the horse, she goes, "Oh, James, great, well done. And as everyone knows, you're Irish." And he just flat out ignored it. And then when you hear him speak, you're like, no, he's not Irish. He's not even close.
So, I can't talk Saoirse Woods wrote a winner for Eddie Lynam yesterday, and I've been told on a couple of occasions it's Sorka Woods. So anyway, I said Sorka Woods and Saoirse Woods. So
That's fine. That's fine. It was nice to be on the opposite end of them taking our, you know, good names and, you know, our take. Good. Yeah, we'll take you, James. We'll take you, Jimmy Doyle. We'll come on over. We'll find a spot for you to ride a few horses over here. Not bad jockey. James Doyle, Irish jockey. Yeah, well done to him. No, it's great. He genuinely does seem like a nice fella, to be fair. And I was listening to, obviously, watching the coverage. Nick Luck said, I think it might have been after Appleby's last runner. He's won with 6 of the last 8 races he's had horses in Breeders' Cup. Like, that is nuts. 6 of the last 8 times he could have won, he won. And he also had Silver Knot beating a nose, or like the shortest nose in the juvenile turf as well. Phenomenal. Like, genuinely a phenomenal record for Charlie Appleby.
Great record. And the way he targets the American calendar through the summer months as well. I know Aidan does a lot. We've seen Bolche Ballet and a number of them horses run at Belmont through the summer months. But Appleby, when he travels, he doesn't miss.
Speaking of Bolche Ballet, he's entered at Linkfield on Saturday.
In a novice chase?
No. No, he's not the next Highland Reel. What's the one that's going hurdling? Highland Reel was sold.
High definition.
High definition. He's not the next
amateur chase. He's going for at least a 4 mile.
No, he's entered on the flats at Linkfield. They've got a couple of races, all weather championship races, and he's entered in the mile and a quarter. I don't know if he's declared yet. We'll know probably soon enough. But watch out for Bolshoi Ballet. Could see him on Saturday afternoon at Linkfield.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, let's go back to Dundalk and we'll continue our chat ahead to 5:45. This one is the nursery on the card over the mile trip. Nice field, 11 runners. It's going to be wide open. Looking at probable favourites, probably Fendi going to be towards the top of the betting for James Barrett. You've got Sleeve Binion, Bedella, Trident the Star. They're all going to be fancied. Giselle's Romance for Gavin Cromwell also. He's having a great start to the season. Well, great start to the national season, Gavin Cromwell. So where are we looking here?
Hey, Gavin's actually got 3 runners in this race, and Giselle's Romance is the best of them on paper, at least. And on the best of her form, she'd have a chance. But the key form to this race is a race at Gorham Park 3 weeks ago. As you said, Fendi ran really well on that occasion, finishing ahead of Sleeve Binion, and Regales was there as well, and Save Train by Jim Bulger, the 4 of them running in that race. Fendi came up best of the quartet on that occasion, however, has had plenty of racing and looked very comfortable on the testing ground on that occasion. Previously had not shown up all that well on the poly track. So look, when you go down through all the race, number 3 Sleeve Binion PK is the one to be with. Shaped very well. If you go back to his run at the Curragh in early August behind Wave Machine, that is probably one of the best maidens that has been run in Ireland all year. Wave Machine won the Birdcatcher Nursery last week at Naas. Cairo won the 2nd one of Group 3, the 3rd one of Maiden. Spirit Gal, who ran at the Breeders' Cup, won a Lister race, the 4th, the 6th, Sperling Bug, won a Group 3. And even the horse that was only 3 or 4 lengths in front of Sleeve Binion has gone on to be placed in listed company. Very, very strong line of form. Testing ground, handicap debut after a couple of months break at Gorham Park. I thought he shaped well down the inside. He kept going. He just didn't look like he could get out of ground. That was 7 furlongs. With the benefit of that run, stepping up to a mile on the poly track, where he showed his best form, good ground, he'd be very hard to beat.
Sleeve Binion. Now, last week, you napped a horse in these colours for this trainer and this jockey with, I think, the exact same form figures of 007. Near enough the exact same. It was well back, Fran. You were right with it. Like, remember I said, I think he'd gone off triple figure prices his previous 3 starts. He went off, like, almost not even an each way price in the end, did he?
Zylo, yeah, he went off 3-1, did he? Or 4-1?
3-1.
Yes, yeah. We were hoping for 33s on that.
Just a little bit off. Just a little bit off. But God, he didn't unfortunately run as the market suggested. But you're back. You have faith in those connections, the Mick Halford, Ronan Whelan, and the Rooney Silks. Or not the Rooney Silks, but the those green and green and navy silks, green and black silks.
You're bang on, Paul Rooney, yes.
It is Paul Rooney, my apologies. Yeah. Right, we'll keep an eye out for Sleeve Binion, once bitten, twice shy. Bolshoi Ballet declared Lingfield on Saturday, 3:10 in the Churchill Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a quarter.
Who is the current trainer now?
Aidan O'Brien.
Oh, still.
Yeah, still in the Magna colours. And do you know, Rides? He loves a bit of money. Big money, Hef. Shavey Heffernan's going over to Lingfield on Saturday. We'll keep an eye out for him at Bolshoi Ballet. I think his last run was, might have been in America.
I think so, yeah. I've lost track of the horse, actually. Yeah. You know, they just disappear for a while, don't they?
Very interesting. I think his last run, I could be wrong, could have been in the Breeders' Cup last year. So very interesting runner. It's a good race, though. He is joint top rated at the top, as we record anyway. There's a few potentially going to be added to the field. So, well, that's an interesting one. We'll keep an eye out for Bolshoi Ballet at Lingfield. It'll be on ITV as well, actually, on Saturday afternoon at 3:10. Speaking of flat, right, I give you the option of Fran... Last run, Hong Kong. My apologies. Producer Mark's great, isn't he? Isn't he great? He ran in the Hong Kong.
He's great when he's awake, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic when he's awake. Yeah. But just don't send him to Killarney again. Last run in Hong Kong on their international meeting back in 2021. So makes his belated seasonal reappearance. Dubawi, Frankel, or Flightline? Where would you send your mare?
Oh, I think currently Dubawi. And I'd be European based, obviously. Dubawi. Frankel is really coming good, but if I could afford $350,000 for Dubawi, I'd go there, I think, at this point in time. Flightline, you're taking, I suppose you're going to sell his first crop, you're going to do well out of that covering fee, aren't you? Win, lose, or draw, if it looks well, if you're buying to sell, he's probably the smart move, if you like, but either the three would do me, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't complain.
See the Stars PK, 175 now, is he? 135, yes, yeah.
That's into your price range now, is that what you're saying?
He's the budget option, isn't he?
350,000, though, for Dubawi. Sterling. Like, cost of living crisis has not hit horse racing at all, or the bloodstock injury, nowhere near. $350,000.
It is never in sync, though, is it? When the world is falling apart, horse racing goes that way, and then, you know, when things are good, it levels out a bit. It's a remarkable industry, and it just seems to, you know, just defy logic at times.
It does, yeah. So $350,000 for a date with Dubawi, $275,000 for a date with Frankel, or if you want to go to stateside, $200,000 for flight.
I actually got a tour of Dalham Hall one morning. I was staying in Newmarket with a friend of mine who worked for them, and God, if you've seen six stallions, which I got to look at, New Approach, Dubawi, Shamardal, all of them alongside each other in their paddocks, Dubawi would be the one you would not pick out. He's small, round, you know, like it's just a remarkable, you know, how well he's done and the spread of winners he gets. Yeah.
As we both know, it's not all about looks, Fran. As we both know, it's definitely not all about looks. When I was in Coomer years ago, and Sadler's well still there, I was surprised how small he was.
Little pony, apparently.
He is tiny. He was absolutely tiny.
Little Queenie.
Exactly. I'd say, yeah. And then you see the teaser pony. He's like, you sure that's not Sadler's Wells? Yeah. right, we'll move on. Let's get some more winners, Dundalk. 6:15. This is a 7 furlong handicap. It's a bang. Normal, I suppose, handicap for a Friday night. Might and Mercy might make the marker for Noel Mead and Dylan McMonagle, which is interesting that he rides rather than Colin Keane. I'm not sure why Colin Keane's not riding in this particular race. You've got Eaglish, a regular here at the track, one, two, three, four for the Hilltop Racing Team. Poor old Gary, or whoever's commentating tomorrow, might be Jerry. Skontovsky, Bears Hug, She's in the Game. They'll all be fancied. What are you thinking, bro?
Wide open handicap. Keep an eye on High Time You Won, Aidan McGuinness runner switching from Dermot Well. First run on the poly track. High class 7 furlong horse on the turf. He lost his form this year, but he just could be rejuvenated by that team through the winter months. He's down in the ratings to 74 now. Bears Hug made all and kept on gamely to win on his last start, but it's up in the weights. Pretty Smart also got out of gates last time and made all. And if getting out of stall one PK, Pretty Smart could be a tough nut to crack. However, I'm leaning towards two or three horses in the race, if you like. I've a feeling is worth to mention. Very slow start last time. Caught the Eye running home well to be fourth. And Skontanovsky, who's got a wide draw, that probably won't play to his strengths. He's best to recover. He was better than the Bear result last time at the track. He didn't get the breaks at a vital stage. But given it's an apprentice race, that's why Colin Keane can't ride. Dylan Brown McMonagall is booked to ride Might and Mercy. That's very significant for me. And more importantly, the ownership partnership is quite interesting as well. Barry. And we haven't seen her since winning at Cork, where she won readily under hands and heels ride, having idled inside the final furlong. She did pull up a little bit in front, but after beating Sistine Madonna, who was just beat here recently, she's only gone up £2 in the handicap. She could be a blot.
Yeah, that's Might and Mercy. Yeah, Colin Keane, he's not an apprentice anymore, no? It's definitely. Are we 100% on that? Good man, PK. Read the bloody rules.
And on that ownership quartet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad has a significant share in Might and Mercy. Those are my dad's colours, actually.
Former handicapper who gets £2 for winning.
No. Influence is very much gone. No. Won't have a word, bad word said about the current handicapping crop. Mike Mercy, I did text mum and dad. Dad being, well, I texted the family WhatsApp because dad basically gets up at 11 a.m. nowadays. Said, all right, what's the crack? Mike Mercy, see, she's declared that I've got to chat to Fran on the pod. Let's get all the info here so we can tell Fran. And mum replied with, hope she wins. That is the level of insight you get as a son of an owner.
See, your mum's looking for the early prices tonight and doesn't really want... Well, that was non-committal, wasn't it? You know, so...
She's a huge punter. I tell you what, those 2 euro each ways. Those 2 euro each ways. She'd be good. Like, she likes big prices, does mum. Yeah, like, that's only 5-1. It's like, 5-1's grand, mum. I'm mildly surprised she's running, but if she can take to the surface, Fran, I think that's key. Then,
And looking at her action and the way she goes through a race, she should suit a poly track very well. Okay. Length of time off the track is to worry, but just being an unexposed 3-year-old stepping in here, if she takes the surface, top apprentice / senior jockey booked, good draw, a lot of things going for her.
Big time. Good man, Fran. Gets the Fran seal of approval. I'll tell mum and dad to be delighted and fingers crossed. Mike Mercy can do the business and make it back-to-back wins. We need to talk about Japan, Fran. One of your favourite topics, because this weekend, Magical Lagoon for Jessica Harrington goes in. Is it the Phillies version of the Japan Cup?
It is, yeah, the QE2 or the Queen Elizabeth II, I suppose, as they call it over there. Snow Fairy, of course, won it twice back in the day. And a very tough race, PK. You're going to have 18 runners, all fillies, obviously, over the mile and a half trip, right-handed hand shin. Beautiful track, 600-meter run-in, 3-furlong run-in in the straight. Normally, despite the big field, the best horse generally wins, and they go a strong tempo, which should theoretically suit Magical Lagoon well. She looks very well from what I've seen in the videos of her track work, and I think it's a very good move by Connections going there. Shane Foley, speaking to him before he departed last week, reckons she's a lot better going right-handed. And perhaps York, she wasn't at her best. And back going right-handed like Ascot, like the Irish Oaks, a 3-year-old getting the weight for age allowance. And it's huge prize money. She goes there fresh. And interestingly enough, I think it's worth €3 million, the race. She gets 100% top up on any prize money won, being a classic winner. So it's a smart move by Connections. So fingers crossed it works for them.
Yeah, that is a huge, huge shout. Even if she places, I think the trip will be a pay for. So Shane Foley reached out to you for tips, did he?
He did, yes. Shane has been there and he's ridden plenty of success in Japan, but okay. I'll be talking to him before the race. And, you know, it's great to see that, international horse going back to Japan. I was speaking to Luke Morris on text last week. He's going to give me a call before the Japan Cup. Looks like Alpinista is going there. That's really exciting.
That is, she's favoured for that, I think, 5-2. Mm-hmm. We don't have prices on the one this weekend. We do have prices on Japan Cup. For those who haven't seen your little stint in Japan recently for Racing TV, I'd urge people to watch it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. My favourite part, Fran, and it is brilliant television, is where you go to the temple and you get, you put like a lock and a key or something and you pull out like a fortune. Is that right? What did that fortune tell you?
I'm going to die a horrible death, I think.
It was brilliant television, and your man was like, oh, yeah, you're going to get sick.
Yeah. A true story, I went back after we'd done the shoot and done it again, and it wasn't any better than the second time around. So I think I'm hooked.
Don't go back to Japan. You're cursed. No, it was great. I was having a right giggle over that. Look, best luck to Magical Lagoon Connections. If they are listening to this, Kate Harrington obviously looking after Magical Lagoon and Dusty Foley be over to ride. Get up early and watch it, or I'm sure it'll be all over Twitter. Long ball to no one. There you go. Follow him on Twitter. He seems to put up all the Japanese videos. No idea who he is, but he seems to put up all the videos. Do you follow him?
Australian expat. I've met him, I think, once, but we keep in touch a little bit. And yeah, he's a great insight into Japanese racing for anyone, you know, speaks English, if you like. Yeah,
exactly. Great one to follow. He puts up all the videos, like I said. Long ball to no one. 6:45 Dundalk. Let's go back to a little bit closer to home. We've got a handicap. This is a nice little race, actually. This one, 1.5 contest. Top rated is Grandmaster Flash, which also Brian and the aforementioned Dylan Brown McMonagall, who's rated 93. That shows you how good this race is. Looking at the potential market here, Boom 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 might make it. Lunar Power, Kialik, Grandmaster Flash, as mentioned, and Bold Approach with Brendan Duke. Go on, Fran, give us a winner.
Yeah, cracking handicap, PK. I love these competitive 1.5 handicaps here. You know, you just so many strands to it. If you like, Boom Boom Boom, the money came from when last seen late on, hammered in from 8-1 into favouritism, and he went around a bridle now. That was an odd 65 handicap. He's taken a big step up in grade here, 13 pounds higher in the weights. And for the grade of horse to war last time, they went off far too quickly for what they were, and that may well have flattered Boom 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 to an extent. But he's interesting in the context of this race, stepping up in class. And just a couple of horses to mention, Grandmaster Flash and No Trouble. Grandmaster Flash loves the track, has a very good record over 1.5 here, and also after returning from a similar break last year, he was second here after running in the Northumberland Plate, as he has done this year. But unfortunately for him, there's not a strong pace likely in the race, and I'm happy to watch him. He tends to try when he go quickly, and on paper Lunar Power is probably the pace angle, but is unlikely to go along at the required gallop to suit Grandmaster Flash and No Trouble. The same would apply to him. And we're back to Mick Halford, Paul Rooney and Kialik, number 12. Them green and black colours, they're going to be popular Friday night, because Kialik was a winner of a maiden here in really good style back in the summer. And his last run behind Golden Twilight, I thought, was really good. His stable companion had a rough trip through between a horse on that occasion. Just had to fight his way through a tight gap. Lost a bit of momentum. Maybe the winner would have won anyway. But I think it was a very good run. You can upgrade the performance a little bit. And I think the best is yet to come. And Kialik is the one that's open to most improvement here.
I tell you, Mick Halford, going to have a great night. Kialik in that 6:45. Before we crack on to the Christmas party nights at Dundalk, which is next up, I was hoping for a few Oasi selections from you, Fran, horses who aren't running at Dundalk, because you did quite well last weekend. You gave us three horses. Cougar won his second juvenile. So that was second juvenile hurdle start. Powerful Aggie placed in the November handicap, and Duke de Sessa won. So three from three with returns at Nace. But you don't have anything else for me this weekend, do you?
No, it's a quiet weekend. And of course, I'm on the Friday pod to do Navan Sunday and Cheltenham Sunday. So I'll be getting well stuck into that in the morning. And
yes, that's true.
Yeah, looking forward to this weekend as regards Irish jump racing, you know, with the good hurl, Flowing Porter and Bob Ollinger back over hurls. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting. And Nace, of course, cracking card Saturday as well.
Yeah, we will get you on. Yourself and Frank Hickey are going to be on Friday, where we look ahead to that Sunday, Cheltenham and indeed the Navan card. Frank Hickey put a left field suggestion in the National Season Preview. He thought if things don't go to plan for Bob Ollinger, they might drop him to 2 miles. Mm. And who knows, he could actually end up being a complete left field one for the champion. Quite a few things need to happen for that to even be attempted, I'd imagine, by Henry. And
yeah, I think the encouraging thing for Bob Ollinger is that Henry managed to get Envoy Allan back last week.
Yeah.
You know, so it can be done. And maybe, I don't think the stable was in top form last year, you know, so it could be a different proposition now.
Very interesting weekend. Listen out for Ruby and Rory on Saturday's action. That's to come later after this podcast is released. And then, as mentioned, Fran and Frank are going to look ahead to Sunday. Right, 7:15 is Christmas party night at Dundalk. The first division of said race, 1.5 handicap. Kutzpal, Cabot, well-funded, Red Ball of Fire. I reckon they're going to be towards the top of the market. What are you thinking, Fran?
Yeah, and two divisions of this race, PK. This is by far the strongest of the two. Chutzpal, very good run last time, likely to make a bold bid from stall one. number of these horses run and won really, really well over hurdles recently. Montahaz was second over hurdles. Well funded, number 9 is a really ready winner at Punchestown recently over hurdles. And Building Bridges, number 3, 2 wins over hurdles this year. Is interesting switching to the poly track. That might suit Building Bridges very well. And each of them have a chance, every chance in their own right. However, I'm going to go with Colin Keane on number 2. Make the switch. Trained by John McConnell. This horse was a winner back here in December 2020. He's also a winner over hurdles in the past. I thought his recent run at Clonmel and at Punchestown were okay over hurdles and testing ground. But given the stable going so well over on the flat and over hurdles at the minute, I think the booking of Colin Keane is really significant. He's likely raced on the all-weather and I do think there's a lot more to come.
Lovely. Okay. An eye-catching jockey booking for Colin Keane, who can ride in this race, the 7:45 on the card.
He doesn't ride for John McConnell that often. And just with the profile of the horse back at the surface, I think he's going to be value in a race where a couple of the top horses likely to be at the top of the betting will be overbet.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, Colin will ride for his dad in the second division. He rides for Jur aboard Mephisto. But Elegant Lass, Rockview Roman, Lariat Mephisto was mentioned. Again, it looks open. You mentioned this race probably not as strong, though.
Not as strong by any means. I think in the previous race, there's one of 5 that probably could win it and improve a lot under current flat ratings. In comparison, this race, you're looking at number 2, Early Strike, is of interest. Had been off the track for a couple of years when ran with promise on his comeback run here recently in late October. Chateau Musar, number 3, multiple winner of the track, is really dropping down the ratings now. And if he came back to his run at Navan 2 starts ago, he would be a big player here. He could be the one to beat if he steps forward back on the surface. And you mentioned Colin Keane, of course, riding Mephisto. Good draw and stall 3. Really good run last time, PK, back on the all-weather. Got a hard fall over hurdles last time and happy enough to watch him. And we're back to trainer John McConnell, number 7, Rockview Roman. Dylan Brown McMonagall is booked to ride this horse. 2 wins back here on the all-weather in 2019. He looked at a horse that was going to improve a lot through the grades. Now, he hasn't shaped up since then, but his recent run at Galway over 1.5 miles on testing ground, he stayed on best of all, only beaten 5.5 lengths in an 18-runner field. It's back on a surface that has seen him produce best form to date. I think it's been a sign of a return to form for him, and he's £3 lower than his last winning mark. He should be hard to beat here.
Lovely. Okay. Dylan Brown McMonagall is going to ride his second winner of the night on board Rockview Roman after booting home Might and Mercy earlier on in the card. A15 is the last race. It's a maiden on the card. Nice little maiden, actually. 1.25 miles of the trip for the 3-year-olds and upwards. Of those that have run, Celador for Joseph and Declan McDonough, Nell for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane, Livia Celeste for Joseph. They'll probably be towards the top. Very interestingly bred one in Expressway runs here as well. But what do you think, Fran?
Yeah, start with number 11, Nell, who was well backed. I was quite strong in her last day as well. And she bombed out completely over a mile, having shaped well at Belliestown in debut. I'd be dead against her stepping up in trip. She didn't look to get a mile, let alone 10.5 furlongs last time. Stalled 14. She's well opposable. Number 12, Rockview Concert, really is a work in progress for Connections. Shaped really well at Dundalk here back in July behind Kialuk, who's going to win race number 5 this evening, Kialuk, of course. And he was also green when running at Belliestown last time. And again, at Curra on testing ground, he shaped really well. Maybe just didn't see out a 1.5 miles on testing ground, but he still looks very green and raw. And I'm happy enough to take him on here on this occasion on the all-weather, back on the all-weather. And I'm going to go with number 13, Celador, trained by Joseph Bryan. Smart move. Hopefully it's a smart move by Connections. Was second here back in April to Lily Pond. Got beat at Sligo, where she looked a little bit leery in front and maybe gave away the initiative inside the final half of furlong. But a recent comeback run after length of time off, 7 furlong competitive handicap, I thought she ran really well with the headgear on. She's back up now to what should be her best trip of 10.5 furlongs. To me, that was like a prep run to sharpen her up, get her ready for this. And hopefully that's the plan, because I think she'd be hard to beat.
Lovely. We'll keep an eye for Celador, for Joseph and Declan. Joseph Bryan, Declan McDonough. I mentioned Expressway. Watch out for her. She is from a very strong family. That of Alluring Park is her dam, who has produced a spate of good horses. Janude. There was Douglas McCarthy wasn't much good. Aaron Naveen was okay. And I think he'd go back to Park Express. I'm pretty sure it's the same family.
Proper family, yeah. And yeah. Paddy Toomey's record, of course, you know, so he's... Yeah. persevering with her onto the back end of her two-year-old campaign. But I just think Celador is ready to strike.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying, keep an eye out for Expressway. Don't worry. Just keep an eye out for it, particularly if she's backed. But Celador for you and Expressway for me.
She will be backed. Everybody backs Paddy Tweedy's, don't they? Blind. It's nearly free return on your capital.
It kind of is, yeah. I'm just looking at the old... Again, we're operating without prices and Irish Racing over 8-1. I think that'll be all right. Right, that is... Dundalk done. Now, as ever, we need an app or an XBest or an Acker or a Travel or whatever you picked out for me. So off you go. What's your best bets on this Friday evening?
Yeah, we'll go to double race one anyway of the shorter ones. Last Cutro, of Geraldine's in race one should be hard to beat. And Celador in race eight, so we'll double them up. They're likely to be quite strong in the market, I would reckon. Either Last Quattro would definitely be favoured. Celador may well be second favourite if the money comes for the Paddy Toomey newcomer. And then into the handicaps, PK, Rockview Roman, Make the Switch is going to be a prize, Calloch and Might and Mercy, the four of them together, I think could be an each way Aka to a point.
So four in an each way Aka, lovely, or place fourfold if you fancy being a little bit safe, you know.
And the nap
is
sleep being in the nursery. We're going again,
of course it is. You're napping Halford and Whelan and the Rooney colours again. Yep, you're not worried about last week. Last week was last week, so that's all that matters.
The market supported it anyway, which was positive anyway, but we didn't get paid, so hopefully we get paid this week, yeah.
Love a value loser. We're great at love value losers. Listen,
it's the only bit of consolation you can take at times.
I beat the SP. Look at me. Fantastic. Did you win anything? No. but I beat the SP. Right, listen, that was great. The lovely little chat about all things racing around the world. I went from Japan to Breeders' Cup to Dundalk, and you're going to be back, as mentioned. You'll be back with us on Friday. We're looking ahead to Sunday's racing at Cheltenham and also at Navan. That excellent card, hopefully get some really good top notchers going at Navan and the Liz Mullen and beyond. And Fran, enjoy your Friday evening. Have the Christmas party started yet up at Dundalk?
I'm sure it'll be rocking and kicking in now in Dundalk, and we'll keep you posted. We might do a bit of a Tomo style walk.
I think you should. Yeah, I think you definitely should. That'll be a bit of crack.
Are you well?
I thought you were. Listen, Brad, enjoy Friday with Kevin. Hopefully he actually works this time, and we'll be talking to you on Friday again.
Thanks, PK.